back to the great and terrible AHS. We're here to talk about season 4, episode 10, Orphans. It's literally like they had no real through line in the episode, and they were like, there's like four orphans. Let's slam that. That's the thing now. I'm joined, as always, by Slow Beef and Miss Shadow Lovely.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, hey. This is... Like, I don't know if this is the worst episode, but this is maybe the most, maybe the most masturbatory thing I've, like, witnessed of just, they're really proud that they managed to tie their writing into also their writing, which isn't impressive. That's called writing.
And they don't need to. Writing is. By the way, they don't need to. It's not like they're like tying up a loose end from a previous season or something. They literally are just like, we would like to dedicate an entire character and a whole episode to like reminding you about another season we did. It literally like doesn't add to the previous season. It doesn't add to this season. It just kind of, it's a filler episode. And what's extra frustrating is our last episode that we watched took us 3 episodes to talk about it because of how much insane shit happened. None of it's in this episode.
Yeah, and the only thing that like really matters that happened was the cliffhanger of Jimmy being arrested, and that comes up for roughly 30 seconds in this episode.
Like 20
and then
minutes
there's
in
the rest.
Too. Like 20 yeah. minutes in. I forgot that had even happened until a character mentions it. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that did happen, didn't it? Crazy how none of you are talking about it. That's wild."
It's all backstory, and it's all backstory that I don't know that anyone was like chomping at the bit for, you know. But
it's Pepper.
Yeah,
like we can just say like it's Pepper. Like we're gonna get a full story of, and it's the worst part is it's backstory, but also they felt the need to tie this Pepper into the Pepper from Asylum, which like they didn't have to. It's an anthology show. We can just assume that actors, actresses, and so on and so forth are going to be appearing in multiple roles, and they're different people or characters in different timelines, and that's okay. There can be, you know, multiple Peppers across your story if thou but, fucking must.
But unfortunately, like, yeah, the HCU or the AHSCU, I guess, you know, has to be preserved. So we have to do this garbage for some reason.
So it starts with Elsa is giving a eulogy because Salty died, and Pepper will not leave Salty's side. Now, you might wonder, wait, Salty died? Because that was my take on this was, oh, wow, that must have happened when I wasn't paying attention. Nope, happened off screen, idiot. Salty just died peacefully in his sleep, I guess.
The night that all the other stuff was happening, too, by the way, because we'll get, like, a thing that happens, like, later that kind of indicates that this is all happening like the day after all the things in the last episode happened. While all that other stuff was happening, while like Del tried to kill himself, while Jimmy got taken to jail, all that, meanwhile Salty died in his sleep, which is just insane timing.
Important point to remember for the future. Salty died of natural causes in his sleep. As Elsa put it, very few pinheads live past 40 just due to, you know, a defect of some form, whether it be, you know, like a heart valve doesn't run correctly or, you know, just like a myriad of things can happen.
Hey, Elsa doesn't care. Why should the writer, right? You know, it's fine. So.
Yeah. Also, the thing I just want to highlight is this is the death that kicks off a lot of suspicion towards Stanley. It is the one that's not Stanley's fault.
Point, actually.
Stanley will have a very funny, like, interaction with this death, but it's not his fault. Also, I have forgotten for, like, several episodes to look up or figure out what this, like, what Salty and Pepper, like, officially, like, what their deal is. Because Pinhead, if you look it up, gives you the guy from Hellraiser who says, I came when you opened the box. And like yeah. the official like diagnoses of what the, because if you're not watching along, you probably don't know what the fuck we're talking about. I think it's called microcephaly is the condition.
Yeah, microcephaly. Yeah, it's like a skull deformation where it comes to kind of a point at the top. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they have. In case you're wondering, like, well, what kind of characters are Pepper and Salty? Are they just like two people that were hanging out here and like don't look any different? No, like the show has just chosen that as what they have. Yeah, again, Googling Pinhead will only give you the guy from Hellraiser who says I came when you open the box.
It feels a lot like, you know, hey, we used this in Asylum, you know, no reason not to go a twofer, right? Hey, what the heck?
Everybody
you know?
Loved that in Asylum. People loved that in Asylum.
Everybody's always asking, where's Pepper? You know, like so.
Well, actually, funnily enough, they were, and then no one ever found Pepper until the aliens did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, so, you're right. And I just put together the whole plot line. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, the alien part at the end. That's Pepper. Yeah.
Pepper gets taken by aliens.
Yeah.
Not in this season.
We called it out, too, remember? Because it's like, hey, you know, if Pepper had the power to speak, I feel like a couple seasons later, she might have a lot to say. But we'll never find out about that, you know? So, we'll explain.
So, Salty died in his sleep. Pepper is refusing to leave the body.
They were married, in case anyone's wondering.
This gets brought up later. They did a marriage, an arranged marriage, kind of, sort of. We'll get there. So, Stanley is talking to Elsa and, is very clearly like, hey, what's going on? You seem like you're down. By the way, I'll take care of that body if you want. I'll just, do a little burn or something. You know, I'll cremate it for you. I'll handle it. I'll get it out of your face. And then Elsa's like, well, no, we'll definitely want a full funeral because, like, Pepper's taking it really, you know, seriously and we'll want a whole thing. And Stanley's like, well, that's nice and all, but how about you let me cut up that, cremate the body? it's cool. It's no big deal. And it, like, cuts away to him, like, full force, like Paul Bunyan cutting down a tree looking ass swings. Just being like, humpty dumpty dump, give me that noggin.
Yeah, chopping up a body with an axe. I know that I was like really specific in all the other episodes that like nothing like physical can happen to the bodies when I sell them to this museum. They gotta be perfectly intact. That's why I can't just shoot the twins or whatever. I'm going to cut this one up with an axe, though. They will ask no questions about it when I sell it to the museum. It will look totally normal.
At some point, Stanley decided, you only need the part that's different. And then, throw out the rest. He's like, Pinhead, so they need the head. Okay, Lobster Boy, just give me those hands. Okay, you've got, like, a long leg? Give me. Yum, 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 yum. Give me that prosthetic.
What would they have done if Dell was successful in getting Amazon Eve? Just, like, big, tall lady goes in a big, tall jar? Like, what were they going to do if they got Eve?
These are truly the mysteries.
Tall lady goes in a tall jar.
Oh, also Stanley like mentions, hey, I got a thing from TV and it's gonna be great, you're gonna love it. And Elsa's like, okay, who cares, whatever. Like, what about the like surgery plan you two had? Did we just like move on from that? Did you move on from the part where Stanley clearly said he was going to kill them and you were like, hey, we can't do that? Because then like you still have to grapple with the fact that Stanley was like, so we're gonna kill him. Yeah. Hey,
that's... because they never talk about it, the assumption has to be that like the Stanley and Elsa went to that like shack, saw that the twins weren't there, went back to the freak show, found that the twins had come back, and were like, oh, weren't you supposed to stay at the shack and get the surgery? And then the twins were like, no, we decided we don't want the surgery, actually. And then they had to be like, oh, okay. I just gotta go make a few calls then. And all that had to have happened, like, off screen, I guess. And also, Stanley is like, I got a telegram from the TV station. They want you to relax, Elsa. They need you to chill out. And I'm like, what? Like, what is the end game here, Stanley? Like, are you going to eventually just kill Elsa, too, and, like, take her wooden legs? Those aren't a thing that the museum will want. I don't... Whatever. Whatever.
Who knows, though, with this museum? They're all over the place, to be honest with you.
Also, his sell and reasoning on the TV station reaching out to them is, like, about as convincing as being, like... The jerk store called. they're running out of you. Like, I don't believe you for a second, man. Like, why would they call and be like, we need you to relax or else the show's not gonna work? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
They'll be able to sense it. They'll be able to sense that you're stressed out on TV.
Well, are you ready for us to insist that Pepper was definitely interacting with everyone on the cast in kind of meepish fashion of just, yeah, no, everybody cares about Pepper. Definitely, definitely. Starting with Desiree. Shall we get into the I guess it's just Desiree just reading to Pepper like a children's book?
Yeah, you know, this would make more sense if it was... like, I don't know, Amazon Eve, the character shown to interact with Pepper a lot more and have kind of like a motherly thing. Yeah.
Who is about to go on a huge tear about how much she was a mother and how much she made huge sacrifices to get everything lined up for Pepper. Yeah.
Yeah. the Desiree's whole deal from this point on, now that she knows she can have babies, is like, I'm going to have so many babies. I'm going to have so many babies. I miscarried that one, and I'm going to have so many more. That's my whole deal now. And this whole episode is going to be about having babies or wanting babies or not wanting babies. And that's why we named it Orphans. I'm the motherly character now. The only other mother here died. It was Ethel. So it's got to be me now. But Del's also allowed to still be at the freak show for some reason, even though all of the things that he's done to him. And this is how we know that this was, like, roughly the next day, is because they have Del talk, like, his voice is really, really raspy, like, his throat hurts a lot, I'm assuming from trying to hang himself.
Oh, I thought it was from going down on Stanley's monster dong. I'm
not
sorry.
True.
I
missed that part. So real. So real.
Jeez. Because, you know, it's a monstrous, I've heard. So.
Insanely based, slow beef. Insanely based. So real.
I mean, yeah. He was a trooper. He got it all in, but, you know.
Honestly, your version is way better.
At what cost? Yeah. He completed the mission, but at what cost?
Buying the good lozenges for my significant other.
Because my monster hog is going to wreck their consoles. Oh, yeah. Del's like, I'm sorry, Desiree. I know you're reading to Pepper or whatever, but I need you to come talk to me outside. You're going to be a great mom someday. And he kind of implies that he's like leaving, but like we don't like see him leave, so who knows. This is the only time we see him in this episode, but he's like, you're gonna be really good at being a mom, and then he like leaves that scene. I don't know if he leaves the freak show, but he leaves that scene.
We wish he would, but
yeah, god, sadly. I wish. Actually, I don't know if I wish, because like kind of an unceremonious departure for a character that should have been kicked out a bajillion times to just be allowed to just like kind of leave for fun.
And also is like ostensibly the one of the main antagonists of the show, like deuter antagonist at worst. Like, yeah. He was like a big deal. Del was like a problem. Capital P. And now he's just like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I gotta go over some stuff.
Yeah, I'd argue he still is. I'd argue he still is a problem. Like, he's not, like, better. He's making Jimmy worse, if nothing else. Also, he doesn't even mention that his son got sent to jail. Okay. Cool. Very cool, Del. Very cool dad move. Yeah, and so Desiree is like, all right, whatever, and then goes back to, like, talk to Pepper, to be like, all right, I can't read anymore because I have to go get ready for the show. It's very important that I leave right now to go get ready for the show. And then Pepper has like a meltdown because her husband, quote unquote, just died. And she doesn't have the capacity to like handle that sort of loss or grief. I assume this is the first time she's had to deal with something like that. And so she has a meltdown, which, you know, grief manifests in a lot of different ways, especially depending on how close you are to someone when they die.
I was going to say, this show has no concept of, like, timeline of grief whatsoever. Because, like, I've known people who, like, spent multiple years in grieving after, like, particularly close people to them, like, died in bad ways. This is, like, hours after, ostensibly. Like, this is, like, it just happened. And it's her husband. Like, Pepper probably knows, like, 10 people total.
Right,
and,
yeah.
like, three of them vanished in the last week. And one of them, her husband, just died. Like, yeah, I think you're allowed to, like, throw a mirror. You could throw a mirror for that. That's fine. That's fine. You know, like, honestly, Desiree probably should have just been like, Pepper, come on, Pepper. And then just, like, walked away. Like, that's probably the best. As opposed to being like, you're being ridiculous. Why are you so sad? Get over it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because they will decide, they being her and Elsa and, like, everybody else in the show, will decide that, like, her being too upset means she needs to be out of the freak show. And I'm like, man, first Jimmy, first everybody. What's really weird, nobody gave a shit when Jimmy wouldn't shut the fuck up about Meep. They were like, that's fine. But when he was sad for 10 minutes about his mom being dead, they were like, God damn it, Jimmy. Get the fuck over it,
you
brother.
Are, Jimmy. Jesus. He's serious.
And then, like, now with Pepper, literally, they're like, can you fucking, like, relax? Can you chill? It's not that, like, come on. It's not that big a deal. Relax. Calm down. Not relax. Yeah. And Desiree is like, all right, you're cleaning all the shit up that you just broke. And then leaves. And instead of going to get ready for the show, like she insisted she needed to, she goes to Elsa's tent to drink with Elsa. I'm not gonna go back through my notes and, like, check. But isn't the general consensus of most of the characters, especially Desiree, at this point in the show, like, not great of Elsa? Like, not
favorable. Oh, you mean Elsa who threw a knife at Paul and hit Paul with a knife?
And
like,
also
clearly somewhat intentionally?
Sold the twins. Mm. And yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's right.
That's right. It's coming back to me.
The twins came back and said, look, fellas, it's all a big misunderstanding. We went to the rich people's house, sure. And Elsa got money for us going to the rich people's house, sure. But she didn't really sell. It's like Texas bribery laws. It's like borderline impossible to prove that it was like actually like, well, you know, it wasn't for the twins. It was just an appearance fee and the twins happened to stay.
Yeah. And Elsa's like, cool, you got a minute? Sit down. I'm going to give you Pepper's backstory for no reason, really. But I feel like it's important. I've gotten so many backstories and now I'm going to give more. And she does. We get a whole flashback backstory. To summarize, she starts by saying that Hitler was making it really hard, life really hard for artists. Maybe this was before Hitler started killing people, because I feel like making life hard for artists is probably really low on the list of things that
also,
we should be blaming him for.
So to be clear, the next step she takes is to join a roaming people, the Romani, and work with a bunch of folks with disabilities with the Romani. That's how she's escaping Hitler. That was her plan, right? And it worked?
And in case you're wondering, yes, they say the slur. Yeah, we're not saying the slur, but they say the slur.
I'm not saying the slur. Right. Yeah, but they do. I won't. But yeah, so regardless, for anyone unaware of the history of World War II, those were the first people that Hitler went after, more or less. Like, top 10. Top 10, for sure. Mm-hmm. Probably the worst place to hide imaginable. Yeah, real bad. Real bad.
No, I'm gonna hide. I'm gonna hide in a group of them, and also it's very. I do not have the bandwidth to try and figure out when this happened. She doesn't have wooden legs in this, but this has to be after the thing where she loses her legs, the snuff film thing. I think.
Remember, they're like the best wooden legs, you know, that like were crafted by the Axeman, or rather really like his actor, you know what I mean? So these are like magic German legs, like high craftsmanship.
So I think the idea is like this is the very beginning of the war, and then later on it was she was providing the revelry after the war, I think was the idea, or like towards the end of the war. I don't,
but
it's a mess. They clearly don't care.
She can't have been running the freak show while she was doing the snuff film thing. That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And they do definitely show her going straight from this carny work to establishing the freak show with no like part in between, which is the only sensible place for that to have happened. Yeah.
Right.
And so it's around that time at some point, which means it was like, I don't know, the 20s or the 30s. They don't give us a title card because they knew it would be too confusing. And also it doesn't make sense with the timeline they've already given. She becomes a chorus girl, and like, she's a mean chorus girl who like pushes down other chorus girls and gets them hurt for some reason.
They were like, yeah, we have the Rockettes at our circus. Like, what? What? Since when? Is that a circus thing? The Rockettes? I didn't think it was. Like,
yeah, I've only been to like a few circuses, and none of them have had what I would describe as a chorus girl. She had like a name, the Teutonic Chanteuse, which just means like singer, which is I don't know. A weird thing that weird to call one of the chorus girls a thing, because chorus girls are usually like a set of people.
Right, yeah.
It's like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Like they kind of come as like a set. There's not like a standout
one. Like, slow beef, like the Radio City Rockettes, for example.
Yeah, like the Rockettes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Exactly like the Rockettes. Right. Not just like the Rockettes and also the Dark Rockette. You know, it's not
the Rockettes.
The Rockettes and Nasty Gina.
Honestly, I would be way more interested in the Rockettes if Nasty Gina was a part of them.
Because now it feels like there's like maybe like a conflict in the show.
Yeah, there's some tension with Nasty Gina and the rest of the Rockettes. I can't wait to see what Nasty Gina gets up to.
There's a Patreon tier coming out of this, I'm sure. But
Nasty Gina tier. Yes. But yeah, the Teutonic Chanteuse, which I had to Google to make sure it wasn't a slur of some kind. It's not.
I know. You have to be careful with this show.
Because sometimes I'm like, that's a weird phrase. And then I Google it and I'm like, it's because it's a slur from the 1920s. That's why. But this time it was not.
I was assuming it was just a very fancy way to say the blonde singer. Because like Chanteuse sounds a lot like that. And it's kind of like that. It's like a Nordic singer, I think, is the idea. Yeah. Like pretty close.
Yeah, basically. That's all it means. And I'm like, I think maybe they were being mean to you, Elsa. I don't think that was like a cool nickname. I think they were being mean. Yeah, anyway, and so she's like, this sucks. I have to run a show instead of be in a show. I'm sick of pushing other chorus girls to the ground and breaking their legs or whatever. I'm going to go to an orphanage.
Yeah, she even says, she's like, the other people who ran the circus didn't have the vision for what a circus could be, or like what we were going to get into coming out of the war and what people needed. And it's like, Elsa, you ran the exact same operation you just left from. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, you didn't have, like, some novel idea.
It's pretty nonsense, honestly. But, like...
And when she describes, like, what she was doing, it's exactly what she's doing in the freak show she runs. Where, like, there are freaks, and then someone comes out and sings. Ta-da! That's what she's doing now, also. So, like, she didn't make a new and inventive product. She just did the same one, but hers. I guess. In the same way Del kind of just walked into this freak show and was like, I'm in charge. And everyone was like, okay. She did that, but with her own freak show, I guess. Maybe that's why she was okay with it. She's like, it's Highlander rules. Freak shows are Highlander rules. Like, if someone else comes in and is like, my freak show now, you have to be like, okay, I had a good run. I guess it's yours now. But you either win. Way, yep. she decides the way she's going to start her freak show is to go to an orphanage. Incredible decision on her part. And she happens to find one that has Pepper, who is 18 years old, 30 years in the past, which is crazy because she's the same age currently that she was in the screenshot or the flashback of being in the orphanage.
Yeah. It is like... They don't even try to, like, do different makeup or anything or, like, a different haircut or outfit or, like, some glasses, you know? No, like, they don't even give me the Clark Kent.
it's all nonsense. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, trust us on this one, okay?
Yeah, and it is, in case you're wondering, it is makeup because the actress who plays Pepper does not have that condition. Naomi Grossman does not have that condition. Lovely lady. Weird role to have.
I will say too, to the show's credit, it's a very good like transformation. You know what I mean? Insofar as like, you know, I did also have to like Google whether or not like she had that condition because it's a very good like it's very good makeup and everything like that. You know, but like it's. Pretty good. One of the things to show.
But it's the same makeup in the 30 years in the past as the makeup they used the present.
Oh, yeah, that part sucks. No, just to be clear. Yeah.
Like, we're really terrible. Good at it, so we're just going to do the same thing. We're not going to change it up at all. We don't have, like, a different way to do this makeup, but, like, it's working, so we might as well. And remember that Elsa specifically, explicitly said earlier that pinheads only live to 40 usually, and that's like an exception, not a rule. So Pepper being 18 when she finds her 30 years in the past and then living all the way to asylum, which is 15 years in the future, 10 to 15 years in the future, damn, Pepper is killing it. Like, she is really knocking it out of the park, survivability wise. Good for her. Truly. So we're about to get terrible Maupetit lore.
Yeah, so first of all, Elsa goes in and more or less just says, like, hey, I want that one. And the people who run the place are like, yeah, her sister dropped her off because her sister couldn't care for her and whatnot. She's already 18, though. You can just take her. We don't really have to do, like, the paperwork and the rigmarole and all that, which is, like, whatever, man. This is they love to just be like, honestly, asylums and orphanages, if you just walk up and slip them a 20, they'll give you a human being.
Yeah, hospitals too. Like, that's... Hospitals too. You can just walk in too. And just
yeah,
take
if you
a person.
Find somebody and they're not registered, take them. Get them.
Very big, like, you know, the past was stupid kind of energy. And, you know, and we don't even have to bother to look it up. I'm sure they did.
We didn't even call it human trafficking. We just called it losing a kid.
Yeah. Like,
God. So Elsa adopts, they leave. And then Pepper, apparently Elsa like has some kind of strange mind link with Pepper's innermost desires, and sees Pepper playing with a baby doll, and instead of being like, oh yeah, children and folks who are like, you know, underdeveloped, that's fairly common, goes, she needs a baby. She needs a baby or she is going to die. I must get her a baby. And then there's like a wild ass sequence of just like the Maharaja shows up. Like, they're like, yeah, there's like a great Sultan King who came over to visit Jupiter, Florida, I guess.
Do we have a consultant for like South Asian cultures? Well, I watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom last week, so I think we can wing it. It's like, oh, it's so bad. Cause he yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, keep going, please, I insist.
Yeah, he comes in with they have this whole like procession and everything, you know, and basically he's got Maupetit and sorry, just cause like She's like, I'll pay you whatever for her. I must have her. And he's like, she's my most prized pet. Keeping in mind, Ma Petite is a fucking person again, you know? So, like, they're like, well, what could this rich Maharaja, who has, like, this, like, you know, big entourage of people with all jewels and everything that's holding Ma Petite, what could he want? And Elsa, with all the confidence in the world, walks over, takes a glass bottle of a brown, it's clearly soda, and, like, opens it, and he drinks it. Like, he's, like, looks at it quizzically, and he drinks a little bit of it, and he goes, and then he looks, and it says Dr. Pepper, and then she explains she had to give him 3 cases to get Ma Petite, and it's, like, this is a rich guy. He has. You're telling me he doesn't know how to get this soda? That's just not a thing. Like, what?
At best, he would like take a big sippy, go, "Holy shit!" and then turn to someone else in his group and go, "Get us like as much of this as you can buy. Like, find where to buy this and get it." But apparently he is the dumbest idiot alive and is like, "Oh, you must make this here."
This is your special liquid. You are the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. It's like racist. It's degrading to Ma Petite. It's degrading to like everyone watching this. It's just so bad. And like, they literally have him like walking around with Ma Petite on a fucking leash, like on a leash. And they refer to her explicitly as most beloved pet. Like, it's so gross.
And when she's like bidding for Ma Petite, she like kind of like they share like a little wink. Like, Ma Petite's like, "I'd rather be owned by you," which, you know, it's awful. But then, like, the life she comes from, which is this lap of luxury, where, you know, look, I'm not saying she's had it good, but it's like, and then it's like, "Oh, I'll take you away to this, like, fucking Jupiter, Florida ass, like, trailer park." And, like, Ma Petite probably has the biggest buyer's remorse in the world. Like, I should have just fucking told him where he could get Dr. Pepper, but.
Too bad I'm not an adult woman with no agency. Bada bing. Do you think there's a version of this on the cutting room floor where Elsa explains to the Maharaja that Pepper made the soda and that's why it's called Dr. Pepper and that's why this plan works?
No, but they do have her say after it, "I traded her for 3 crates of Dr. Pepper. Isn't that irony?" To which I had to, or like, "Isn't that ironic?" To which I had to look directly at the camera and just say, no, it's not. That's not irony. That's a coincidence is what that is. 2 things had the same name. Wow. What a coincidence. That's what it means.
Oh, I didn't even clock that. I didn't even clock that either. As being
does. She straight up says, she's like, "I had to use 3 crates of Dr. Pepper to get the baby for Pepper. Isn't that ironic?" And I'm like, coincidence, not ironic.
Why is your first thought of she needs a baby to go to a Maharaja and buy a person? Like, where the hell? What? How?
Well, it was just serendipity that he happened to be walking through again. Wild that a Maharaja was hanging out here. And they also make a mention, they're like, yeah, he was like super rich, but he was basically owned by the British at this point. Like, don't worry. He was still being domed by white people. Like, what are you talking about? Why do we have to do this?
That's like the little history check, you know? Like, we know things happen, you know? And it's like, no, you didn't.
It's like, I was good without the history check, frankly.
Especially since
it doesn't affect anything. It's not like he's like, "Oh, well, I can't. This was a gift from someone," or something. Like,
and he's not like, "Well, you know, the British keep hiding how to buy Dr. Pepper from me."
Those pesky British, they never want us to have anything good.
Let me have soda!
Famously, there's never been soda in any other country other than the United States of America.
That's right.
We mine it from the ground here. It's a natural resource. And then Elsa gives Ma Petite to Pepper to raise as a baby. That's not enough because Elsa sees Pepper seeing 2 people making out in Elsa's tent for some reason.
I'm sorry. It just, the gravity just hit me of like the words we're saying. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. It just happened. Yeah. Where I'm just like, I can't believe this is a fucking show that happened that I watched. I'm sorry. I just had to interject that.
You're so
Valid. The fact that they just gave, they gave someone an adult woman to raise as a baby in a swamp in Florida. Yeah.
They gave her someone with microcephaly. You know what I mean? Like, Mop is just a living, speaking person. Like,
but she's, why not baby if baby sized? Slow beef.
True.
Nah.
True.
Checkmate, atheists.
That's why I was able to buy beer when I was 13. So anyway, so Pepper sees two people making out in Elsa's tent. Why they were making out in Elsa's tent, that's like a really good question. It is unclear what was going on there. I mean, for what it's worth, this was introduced to us as like having a secret opium sex den in the back. It hasn't come up a lot, but that like was part of episode one. Sorry, it just hit me like a fucking freight train. I was like, why would there be people making out in a tent? Wait, this was like a sex cult thing up front. Cause that's why Penny was like ashamed of like, what the fuck? Okay. Maybe it makes a lot of sense. There were two people making out in Elsa's tent. But regardless, Pepper sees this and like makes an expression, and Elsa goes, "Oh, she wants to schmang it. I should go get someone." Like, it just, I guess, and does, and is just like, well, if I find another person with the same disability, they have to match up. That's how that works, right? If someone's missing a right arm and you find another person missing a left arm, they have to get married.
And they treat it like that too. Like, the second that Pepper sees Salty, because she just finds Salty, it's like, it's love at first sight. And I'm like, you're so valid, American Horror Story. You understand people so well. It's true. If two people have the same disability, they will immediately fall in love. It's like a witch's curse. You will immediately fall in love. This is just the gospel truth. Way to go, American Horror Story. So true.
By Jove, you've done it again.
They figured it
out. Famously, no one wants to marry anything more than a mirror that reflects all of their flaws back to
Yeah. So then Elsa has like a wedding for them where she quite literally does the thing that people do with like Barbie dolls where she's like, now kiss. But with... with two people, two actual living, breathing people, and she pushes their heads together and makes them kiss. And then she's like, and then I gave them Ma Petite to raise as their baby. I'm like, you trust it? First of all, Ma Petite's not a baby. She's a grown adult woman. And then secondly, you let them raise her like their baby?
Yeah.
One is nonverbal, I might add. In case it wasn't clear, like, Pepper, it's mentioned earlier by Elsa that, like, Elsa has taught Pepper to, like, speak some basic phrases and words and do, like, some minor communication and stuff. And, like, don't get me wrong, there's people who are nonverbal who can, like, fully communicate. Like, it's just a thing that happens sometimes. But that is not the case with Salty. Like, Salty just is not there at a communicating level, which is all the more reason it's just wild to leave someone. Like, there's a point where Elsa needs to be like, this is not someone who can care for someone else. And that's like, okay, that's valid. You just need to not then explicitly give them someone else to take care of. That makes you a bad person.
But they get to raise her as their baby for some reason.
She's already raised!
Yeah.
She's an adult!
Yeah. Yay, I'm sure Ma Petite loved this. I'm sure this was a great, like an absolutely incredible experience for Ma Petite. A shame
I'm gonna get adopted. Fuck this. Yeah. I'm sick of being a 34-year-old man. I'm getting adopted. I'm gonna go get raised as a baby. Fuck this.
I had that thought so many times while watching, particularly the part with Ma Petite. I'm like, man, I wish someone would accidentally think I was like 2 years old so that I didn't have to like pay taxes or whatever, fill out paperwork. That would kick ass. Man, I wish I was not an adult woman who looked like an adult woman. That sucks.
That's the dream. We all wish that. Yeah. But, you know,
I want to be boss,
so
baby.
So few people get it.
I want to be boss, baby. That's the end of that. That is the end of that backstory. Desiree's like, wow, that's fucked up. You should find Pepper's sister and give her back to her. because we need to tie this to the other season.
Pepper needs to be surrounded by people who care about her and unconditionally love her, comma. So we're taking her out of the freak show where everybody unconditionally loves her and putting her to a place where she was explicitly not wanted.
I'm sure nothing bad will happen. And it's not
Let's
even
take
like,
her to Meep's house. Yeah.
What's incredibly crazy about this is that Elsa has been shown to have like dubious morals on multiple occasions. It would have made more sense if, like, this was a thing where, like, Stanley had been like, oh, well, we're going to put you on TV, but you're going to have to get rid of a couple of your freaks, so they're not going to sell well, in, like, some weird way to, like, get the freaks. And so this was, right. like, her, like, way of mercifully offloading a freak. But no, like, she, in full conviction, thinks this is going to help Pepper in some way. This isn't like a scheme or like a big plan of Elsa's. She's like,
she's just an idiot.
Yeah, she's like, no, this is good for her. This is great. This is a good idea. I think it would be a good idea if we did this. and then they act on it. It's Angus T. Jefferson's about to come back. That's good. We're in another scene now.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
So Maggie's holding a Lobster Boy trading card, which is an insane thing to have. And she's drinking in her tent. I guess she drinks now also. And Desiree and Angus T. Jefferson come in and they're like, hey, we got to get our future told. And I'm like, cool. This is something we should definitely dedicate time of the episode to. And then they take the opportunity to show us how Angus and Desiree met. And the way that that happens is that Desiree, in the middle of a freak show where there are children present, had her three titties out and was shaking them.
Yeah, this is just straight up just like cabaret at this point. Yeah. Like, this is just like there is it is just tassels and pasties that are separating the audience and the titty. So like this is full on burlesque show cabaret type stuff. This is well outside of the domain of like carnival freak show stuff. Like, it is in fact too sexy to be at a carnival.
Impossible, I say. But Desiree was shaking her three titties. Angus saw them and was like, damn, I was going to be single forever, but three titties, that's changed my mind. She's the one for me. And then that's how they met. And Maggie starts telling them their fortune by like doing like a cold read or whatever. And is like just doing fake psychic bullshit. And then she starts, I guess, having an episode and starts going off the rails.
So, yeah, they have this weird, like, trying to set her up like she's, like, Sherlock or something. Yeah. Like, looking at his shoes and being like, oh, he must be a salesman because he has good socks. Like, I don't know what she's getting at. It's, like, not impressive. And she immediately goes from, like, doing this kind of cold readie stuff to just being like, and then every relationship's bad and your boyfriend with lobster hands is going to leave you. And it's just like, well, okay, I think I know where this is coming from.
Oh my god, this is, and it's, and like she starts, like she stands up and she starts like yelling, and then they're like, okay, well, we're gonna go. And then it cuts to the carousel. We have a carousel now too. Yeah.
Oh, I will say, shout outs to Angus T. Jefferson for being like the most reasonable human being on the planet. Like, he's just kind of like, hey, Desiree, I don't think we have to take this. Let's just go for now. This is, you know what? I believe in God. Fortune telling's bullshit. Let's go. Like, just like a very matter of do, like, hey, this is no good. Let's just leave. Which, good reaction. Reasonable reaction. Maybe the best reaction anyone had in this entire series.
Yeah, it's just kind of chill about it. And then Desiree comes and finds Maggie, who's drinking on the carousel we have now. And she's like, hey, what the fuck was that about? Also, remember Jimmy? Because we didn't until just now. It sucks that Jimmy's in jail or whatever, and that literally none of us have mentioned it up until this point. You'd think it would be like kind of important, especially since he was, I don't know, arrested for killing like 9 ladies. That seems like real important. We don't give a shit, actually. Nobody gives a shit that happened to Jimmy. And we don't care, but whatever, get over it. Hey, can we get your backstory real quick? And we do. We get Maggie's backstory. She's an orphan.
I was orphaned too. I also was orphaned. Is anyone else an orphan in here? Raise your hand. If you have to tell me you were an orphan too. Yeah. So, yeah, not to spoil it, but Maggie is an orphan. She was in 1941 in Kansas and was like, yeah, dressed up like a little newsboy trying to sell papers and then just like pickpocketing people. And then like when she's about to get caught and arrested, like Stanley runs up and is like, oh, this is my weird kid, you know, sorry about that. I'm sorry she was doing crime. You know, it happens.
It was like pornography and the monster dog put you off, okay?
He specifically says, he's like, because they're in like a rich people hotel. He's like, my boy, we're really rich and he got cast in Oliver and Company and he really wanted to pretend to be poor for method acting for his role in Oliver and Company. And I'm like, holy shit. What a ruse.
Funny save. Yeah. Incredible save. Yeah. Sorry, my child is method acting. It's like, if I ever have a kid and they're acting out in public, I'm definitely pulling that out. Not because it's true, but because at least the people who hear it will be like, okay, that's pretty funny.
And to excuse,
funny,
like, he's not like, oh, she'll give it back or oh, he'll give it back. He's just like, yeah, she was robbing people because she's method acting for her role in Oliver and Company. I feel like someone should do an actual crime and then try and use that as an excuse. I was simply officer. I was method acting. I'm pretending to be a criminal. Feels very Jared Leto, honestly. Feels on brand. So that's her backstory. And like Stanley raised her or something, I guess. And that's why she's like,
where are you?
I don't know, like has allegiance to Stanley.
Doesn't make sense with the only backstory for what it's worth that would make sense for Maggie and Stanley is the reveal that Stanley is some kind of voodoo god that has a weird curse over Maggie. That's the only reason Maggie would have to go with everything he's done. Like, look, I'll be real. The people who raised me, if they were like my parents, if they were like, hey, we're going to go kill some people. You want to, we need you to come help. I'd be like, No, I don't think so. Look, I don't think I'm going to do that.
This is like the first and only time I think the show has ever given like that indication of he's like a father figure to me. Because it's like, wow, I didn't get that vibe at all.
No, it's like, more like a hostage situation. Like he has blackmail on her or something.
Blackmail scumbag. Yeah, blackmail scumbag, which makes sense considering he has been shown to be a blackmailing scumbag. Like that's what he did to Dell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's my daughter. She's in Oliver and Company or whatever. And she's really also like, it's like he's like a weird sleazebag like scam artist. And he sees her being like bad at it. And is like, I gotta adopt that kid that's dog shit at being a scam artist so that I can raise her to be a better scam artist. And that's how we got here. And then they have like a little argument and Maggie calls her Triple Tits. Killer nickname, gotta say. And then she kind of like, she like comes a little bit clean about like why her and Stanley are there, but she doesn't like own up to the killing right away. But somehow Desi just intuits that they're responsible for the deaths recently. Though they're not. Yeah. They're only responsible for one of them. She somehow just like figures that out. And Maggie's like, no, we're just here to scam your audience members. That's what we're here to do. And I'm like, good save, Maggie. Good save. But it's too late because Desi's already figured it out, I guess.
Well, the reasoning Desi gives is they're just like, yeah, I'm just pickpocketing all the people in the show. And Desi's like, why would you travel all the way here and get ingratiated just to pickpocket? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's so much work for a penny's crime. You're doing a big buck crime. Like, right, why? Yeah. How would you do this? So Maggie then just storms off and goes into the twins' tent. It is unclear why she goes into the twins' tent and why the twins are there sitting and waiting to talk to Maggie, specifically to Maggie.
They're NPCs that she has to interact with to get her next side quest.
Also, the twins are here. Remember the twins? The ostensible main character of the show? So Maggie's talking to the twins, and the twins are just like, hey, we want Jimmy to not go to jail for the murders he didn't commit. Here's part of the money we had from when we were bought by the killer man. Maggie's like upset about this, and also Dot is mad about it too, because Jimmy was into Maggie, even though that's not the latest twist on the Jimmy.
Yeah, look, it doesn't seem right at all.
Barbara's
yeah.
not even in this episode, for what it's worth. We don't even know what her deal is.
This is two characters talking about a third character, and I don't care about any of the three of them. And like, it doesn't make sense they'd be talking about this or fighting about this. Also, this was the first scene that the twins, it finally like clicked what was so weird about it to me, is the second head's tracking feels very like auto-stabilized in a weird way. Like how if you like move a chicken, the head will stay in place while you move the rest of the body. There's just like the fake head is like a little too static and it just looks weird. I don't think it used to be this bad, but in this scene in particular, it was like really off-putting how it was not, the visual effect did not look good.
I'm also realizing we have quite literally, and I mean, I'm sure this is by design, but like, we've never seen the twins in motion. We've never seen them walking or like locomoting at all. Ever.
Yeah. Other than like quick shots from behind, maybe. Well, yeah.
I feel like it's like just a copy paste kind of job. Not like literally that, obviously, because they had some production value, but it's like, it's more like they put it out in post. Because I think like nowadays, she would probably have something like, meaning Sarah Paulson would have a prop that people could look at, you know, and then something that's like on a green screen. But this feels kind of like, might have the prop, but they just kind of like plug a head on. You know what I mean? Or like they like add it digitally, but there's no like prop or anything in 3D that would help sell it. You know, it's just like there or the second. You know
there's
what I
no
mean?
Tracking in space.
Yeah. Like nowadays, like you would have some kind of 3D modeling going on so that like, you know what I mean? Like it could be like, okay, well, I see where she's supposed to be, you know, whatever. But like,
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if it was a big enough production, I wouldn't be shocked if they, like, straight up used, like, different forms of, like, range-finding cameras and stuff to, like, create a depth map so that they could correctly, like, rotate images and things of that nature. Yeah. And in this, it is very much just, like, here's a video of Sarah Paulson's face cropped out in this one section of the screen. Yeah,
right,
I know what you mean. Well, welcome to Meep Jail. Jimmy's in it this time. Jimmy's in it, and the warden kind of is, you know, giving Jimmy a little bit of shit or whatever and is like, okay, hey, good news. Someone's here to get you. And we assume it is either, you know, Maggie or the twins or whatever, you know, someone else. But no, it's Stanley?
Sure, why not?
Are you allowed to come get somebody who did like 9 murders? Are you allowed to do that?
I don't know.
I don't think you can't just pick up a guy. Yeah.
Just like walk in, just like, yeah, I'm here to visit somebody. Like, yeah, right, sure. Whatever. Come on in. It's like,
yeah,
it's,
we don't care.
We'll have an audience. It's like our own little freak show here, you know? It's fine.
We don't think you're smuggling in like a weapon or anything. It's cool. Just talk to the guy who we think killed 9 people. It's cool. It's chill.
It's fine.
Stanley's an orphan too. He makes sure to get that in under the buzzer. We've now a second orphan has hit the towers. It's Stanley. He's like, Jimmy, I'm an orphan too. Sorry about your mom. I know this is probably the last thing you want to think about right now, but sorry about your mom dying. My mom's also dead. You got to trust me. I'm real trustworthy.
So then he's just like, yeah, I'll need to get you a lawyer. I have a lawyer who's good enough to do it. But me, Jimmy, I'll do it for free just because I love you so darn much. But this lawyer, he's going to need a retainer. And he knows that you, the lobster boy from the freak show, has a lot of money, I guess. He expects you to have a lot of money. It's unclear why. But Stanley implies, I have an idea for how we could get the money. And the camera does a pan where it fully inverts 180 degrees. Like it's the camera pans into a position where the camera is upside down. And I think that drives a lot of the confusion because the idea is it's Jimmy's hands to either side, like outside of his pockets. But due to the way it is framed, the camera flips upside down and locks in on Evan Peters' dick.
Yeah.
He's Like, I know how you could come up with the money.
Like, it's like center stage. Like, it's, they don't, if they wanted to do this, they needed to like focus on one of the hands or have him hold his hands closer together or something. But instead, it's his hands are just framing his cock and balls, which is what you have centered the camera on.
You want to finger bang somebody? Like, no, Jim. Oh, sorry, I was unclear. I meant
your hands. Yeah, like, it should have been more specific.
I knew what they meant. I cracked up laughing at this pan so bad. Like, I was just like, his dick? Oh, wait, right. Hands. Why did they?
I was like, wow, straight to prostitution. That's crazy, Stanley. And then it's like, oh, wait.
All orphans do this.
This is what orphans do. We're orphans now. Well, technically, Jimmy's not an orphan. He has a dad, but whatever. Ugh. Yeah, that's the plan. That's the last we see of Jimmy and Stanley this episode. It's a freak show time. Desiree wants to be a mom, so she's making a pot roast outside, as you do. And Maggie is like,
as you do, right?
Hey, stop doing that. I don't think you should be good at cooking. Also, hey, what do you think about what I told you last night? You're not going to like tell the police or anything, are you? And Desiree's like, I haven't decided yet. And I'm like, well, you think that they're killing people, so maybe you should do something about it. And
give a shit.
Yeah. And then Maggie like even says something to the effect of like, we have got to get Jimmy out of jail. If we don't, all of the freaks will be dead. And I'm like, what does that mean? Also, kind of just confirms that yes, Stanley is trying to kill everybody. Which when was that the plan? Like one easy to get away with, maybe, in the 50s.
Ethel was the one who wanted to kill everyone. Yeah. Oddly enough, it wasn't Stanley. It was Ethel, explicitly, yeah.
And I'm 100% sure that Maggie doesn't even know that. And then they are like, okay, whatever. And when we get back to them, it will be in a crazy place that you will not be expecting. Anyway, elsewhere, Elsa has brought Pepper back to her sister Rita in Massachusetts, I guess. We hear for one of 50 times that her sister can't have babies, and that sucks for her, I guess. And she likes drinking alcohol, which we all know makes you evil and bad in this show.
Yeah, no,
and unreasonable.
Terrible people.
And then Elsa's like, that's great. I taught Pepper how to make cocktails, so you have a reason to want to keep her now. And
she's like, I'm a drunk. You got yourself a deal. I'll take back my sister. Yeehaw.
But like, to really harp on it, she does multiple times go like, no, I really can't do that. Like, she's an adult who lived her own life. And like, when I can't just take her back in, that's really weird. And my husband would fucking super hate it. I need to at least talk to him. And Elsa's just like, nah, you want to keep her. And she's just like, okay, I want to keep her.
Yeah. I'll go get the pull out sofa ready or whatever.
It's his office. He needs it to study in his study. It's like a really weird thing of like, Elsa, this clearly is a bad idea. If you have any awareness, you will just immediately go, you know what? This is a bad idea. And just like take Pepper and leave. But no, the American Horror Story writers need to feel proud of themselves for attaching this character to Asylum, even though the way they did it is ham-fisted, confusing, not related to the narrative or the story, and frankly, doesn't make sense.
You know what is really, really funny? I'm realizing now that this actress is also the actress that played, what's his name? The zombie boys. Mom in Coven, and also the mayor lady in Cult. So like
the mayor,
this lady's archetype is lady who lives away from the main cast that the main cast has to go visit, that will be doing a substance when they arrive and then will do something terrible because of that substance. Like, that is all three of those characters. That's what she does. All of them. All three of those characters do that.
Dookie archetype.
Right. Yeah, not a great character to keep making this poor lady play. Oh, my God. So she's like, yeah, that's fine. I'll take my sister. I'm a drunk, and I think it's cool now for some reason. And we get, like, a sad goodbye between Elsa and Pepper. and it's supposed to be sad, I guess. Well,
I mean, yeah, but like, it's also, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we've been over it. It's just like, why? I don't know why Pepper's even like cool with this suddenly, but whatever.
They really want you to believe that like Elsa and Pepper have had this super deep relationship over the course of the whole series, but they didn't like show any of that, and yeah, like there's no real justification. The worst part too is like even stuff they explicitly mention as like, for example, Salt and Pepper raised you know, Ma Petite as a baby or whatever. Then why later is it actually Pepper is being cared for as though she was a baby and Ma Petite is being taken care of by an entirely separate group of people, right? Like, it's, they don't even line up with their own mythos that they just wrote.
We forgore about it.
It's okay. We don't now need consistency. It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's time for Maggie and Desiree to be thousands of miles away from the freak show now because they've gone to
this
the
is
museum.
The most confusing timeline moment of the episode, by the way. So Maggie and Desiree are at the Mütter Museum, which is, yeah, thousands of miles away. To see Salty and Ma Petite so that, you know, Maggie can prove to Desiree, hey, this is what's happening. Even though, like, that Desiree believes her.
Salty died today.
Right? Yeah. Salty died today.
Jimmy got
also,
arrested
Desiree
last night.
Jimmy got arrested last night. Desiree believe. There's no reason for this trip to happen. Because, like, Desiree already is like, yeah, you and Stanley are clearly up to some shit.
Right. But
well, either way, they pull off one of the tube coverings, and it's Jimmy's hands, and Maggie faints. Now, how would Jimmy's hands have been cut off and sent here? Jimmy's been in prison. I don't know if y'all have ever been in prison. They don't usually just let you cut off whoever's hands.
Hey, can I get in there? Like, hey, I gotta get in there real quick and cut off this guy's hands real fast so he doesn't do another murder.
Do you mind if I sneak in there with a Valmon way? Just like a couple slashes. Not too many.
That same guy, like, I'm here to fix his legs. Hands, sorry.
Oh my god. Well, look at it this way. If I cut off his hands, he can't do any more murders. So it's really a win-win situation.
Hey, now why do you have a horse-killing sword? This one? No reason.
That was 15 seconds, and now we're back to the backstory for Pepper, which is unfortunately Pepper. Where this episode ends. And there's like 18 minutes of episode left. We've decided that we...
But I'll summarize hard.
Yeah. It
is literally just serving to write Pepper out of the show and have there be a reason why Pepper is in this in Asylum season. And that's it. And it's literally 20 minutes of them farting around doing fuck and all to achieve nothing other than Pepper is out of the show and Asylum has Pepper for some reason.
Yeah, Rita Rita and her husband are shitty. They have a miracle baby that came out not great, I guess, and it cries a lot. They don't want the baby, so they frame Pepper for murdering it, even though they
and like it. I'll just say quickly, very gruesomely, because they're talking about it like, I want to go out and party. Ah, this stupid baby. And then it's like, you know, yeah, the husband drowns the baby in the sink or whatever. Or no, like, but like also like take some scissors and like fucking mutilates the infant where like, I would almost feel like the wife would be like, you did what? Like, we didn't discuss that. Like, what are you, a monster? Because it's like way
alcohol
over the
makes
top.
You yeah. evil. We know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a really over-the-top thing, too. Like, they try and act like they're like, the baby was so horrible. But they didn't want to, like, pay for a baby or, like, deal with how annoying it is to have a baby on set and, like, all that. So it's just like, a random bundle of cloth that they're all just like, I hate that baby so much. It's so evil and hideous and of the devil. You can look at it and know it's the, oh, I'm going to throw up just looking at it. And then I'm like sitting here like the audience like, oh, can I get a peep of that baby? And they're like, absolutely
it's
not.
It's like they're all watching Eraserhead like it'd be so much better if you couldn't see this baby. And it's like, really? You took that away from us? Are you serious right now? Bro, that's the...
But we do get a cameo from Millie Rob, who, because she's Mary Eunice from Asylum, and she's the one who's doing intake.
And they try to do it like it's a big reveal, but it's like, well, if you already saw Asylum, then like you would assume this is the case. Because otherwise, they would have to bring her in and have her being taken in by... Elsa, but in a nun outfit. That would really blow the whole thing, huh?
That's so funny.
Let's hope they never do anything weird like that.
Yeah. That would be crazy. They would never do something like
never.
That. Anyway, so Mary Eunice is like, okay, Pepper, you suck so bad. I can't believe you killed a baby. That's so fucked up. That's... incredibly bad. I'm gonna go hose you down with a fire hose or whatever. And then Pepper starts crying because she's like insanely traumatized from having the baby she was caring for get brutally murdered by her sister and then getting framed for it. She starts crying and Mary Eunice is like, I am such a good fucking nun. Holy shit, I'm good at my job. I made this murderer feel bad. Now you get to organize the library because I fixed you. Then we get a scene where she's organizing the library with Mary Eunice, and at the very end, Pepper sees a magazine where Elsa's on TV. Stanley's not
Life
a
magazine,
real,
right?
Yeah, Life magazine. Yeah. Stanley's not a real Hollywood man.
No.
Right.
I think the issue was supposed to be backdated. I think is the idea, like it was supposed to be from earlier, but Elsa was like, she never had her big break. That was like part of it, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And again, Stanley's not a TV boy, so we'll see where that goes, yeah. I guess. Because something's
gotta
happen.
I'm sure it'll be satisfying.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the episode. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Sorry, my boom arm is currently disassembling in my hands and I'm holding my microphone. That's why you just heard me bonk it. But that's going to be it for the episode. What's the next title? Magical Thinking, huh?
Yeah.
Really running.
Do you think we're
going to
have like a lot of magicians since this episode had like a lot of orphans? Do you think we're going to have like a lot of magicians?
There's probably going to be some weird thinking at one point. And
they're
going to
think. Characters are going to think.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how'd you come up
Dandy's
with that?
Dandy's going to try and cut a lady in half again and fail a bunch. That's my guess.
And remember Dandy? He's not in this episode either.
Remember Barbara? Yeah, Barbara, Dandy, a lot of folks missing. Paul kind of shows up for like a couple frames. That's
yeah,
really
Amazon
it. Yeah,
Amazon also for like a frame.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Well, till next time, everybody. Have a great night, and thanks for listening.
Bye.